Thank you, Don. So this is Gijs Minderhout. I'm calling into this conference call from Megalia, California. And this is as usual a cast, the radio show with a conference call. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else calling into the phone line. We welcome you all. We are still 1 minute away from the hour. Winfrey will be here in just a moment. He is the host, taking care of this call. I'm just here welcoming you folks, and I welcome the person who just joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Corona.
Hello, Bonnie. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I love coming to these calls.
Great, great, great. It's good to hear. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So welcome to all those people that are joining in through BBS Radio. Somebody else joined in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location, if you want to. It's okay to stay in the background. We are living in a free world. 21. And I know Wynn is not taking a day off today because he did send out an email. Good evening. Welcome to the name and location.
Caroline Okotoks.
Good evening to you, Caroline. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, hi.
Right. And somebody else came in right with you. I welcome that person. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Good evening, Marilyn. How are you doing?
I'm good, Heis. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We got some wonderful rain here in Corona tonight.
Fantastic, yes. Also, Rob and Ronnie were saying that in Glendora. And same thing over here in Northern California. Nice rain.
Very good.
Yeah. It's just awesome. You know, see all those clouds in the sky. Yeah.
We got a big snowstorm up here in Canada.
All right.
Yeah.
I hear ting ting, more people joining in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. One more. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello.
Hello, Wanda. And another person joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everyone.
If you want to.
It's Susan in Delaware. Not Delaware. I used to be from Delaware, Susan
yes.
in Maryland.
All right. Hi, Susan. Just remain well aware. In Maryland. Thank you, Susan. Welcome to the next person. If you want to, please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Good evening. Welcome.
Thanks, Heis. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Good.
All right. You know what might be happening is that Jim is making the last dinner over there in the house of Ben and Terry.
Ooh.
Hello?
Might be running late. I'm just guessing. I'm just kidding.
The house of Ben and Terry.
Yeah.
Hello.
Wouldn't you want to live there? Hello, good evening.
John Mananda here.
Mananda, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good, you?
All right. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I love it.
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. All right.
Did you say you sent a topic tonight?
Yes. Tonight's call is for
people who've never listened to a call.
Yes, and at the same time, it is for the old-timers to be here and ground the energies and uplift this whole situation. It's just awesome to have so many old-timers here, so to speak, tonight. I appreciate you all being here very much.
We appreciate you, Heise.
All right.
Yes, we do appreciate you very much.
Thank you. You know, I feel blessed to be able to do this.
It's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
Yes, you have a very wonderful voice.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Steve in West Palm Beach.
Good evening, Steve. How are you doing, man?
I'm good tonight. How about you?
Great. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Yes, hello. This is Pat in Jackson.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Pat in Jackson.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. And I think we had another caller. If you want to, please say your name and location. But we welcome you. You can stay in the background. It's fine. All right, 6:05. Welcome to all those folks on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for being here tonight with us. And we are still waiting for the helicopter from our host, Win Free, to land over here. And I haven't seen the light yet, so hang in there.
Are we on BBS?
We are on BBS. Yes, we are.
Okay.
The entire world has the option to listen into this online.
I wonder if Win forgot to change his clock.
I don't think they change the clock in Arizona. They don't.
That's right. That might be how we, here we have a sign of a sign from Arizona. Good evening, Terry.
Hello. Lynn's going to be here in just a minute, too.
All right. How are you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Yes. I was following the earthquakes. We got 3 earthquakes in Black Canyon.
All right.
Over here.
Where?
Black Canyon, which is 20 miles north of Phoenix.
Oh,
how big?
My.
Yeah.
What's the size?
No damage or whatever?
What?
No damage, just some shifting?
Yeah, they were like small. They were like 4.1 or 3.2.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we have a bunch of people here with us tonight, Terry, and a bunch of people dropping out. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Good evening to you, Morgan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Hello, Morgan. You sound good.
I'm better today, that's for sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That is the helicopter.
Yeah, it seems the time change seems different because it's 7:00 here.
Yes.
Because Arizona doesn't change their time.
Yes. Hi, welcome to call. I just joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
And more people have joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hello.
I'm glad you're here, my friend.
Me too.
All right. We have a bunch of old-timers with us tonight, and we have a couple of newcomers. And I don't know who's listening online here tonight with us on BBS, but I welcome everyone. And Wynn, I'm going to give the mic to you, and I've got to step aside away from the studio here for a moment, okay?
Oh, well, thank you so much. Okay.
Will you start the recording?
Sitting on their phone.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Somebody very excited, I bet.
You know, I think it's probably Dwayne from the other side.
This conference is being recorded.
This is November 2nd, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is our Monday night call. And Monday night is kind of our seat of the pants call. We do different things on this call. We talk. We should, Terry, you know who we should rename our Monday call? Did you ever hear the song All in the Family?
All in the Family. Didn't
it used to be a TV show? It was a TV show, right? All in the Family. So
yeah.
We could call our Monday night call All in the Universe.
Maybe our Wednesday call, because when Elohim come in, looking at stuff from outer space.
Right. Well, you know, I sent an email out, and I was hoping some new people would listen in on this call. And maybe there are. Let me just see a second here.
All callers are unmuted.
Is there anybody new on the call?
Yes.
Yes, thank goodness. Anyone else? I guess we're going to do this call for you.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Let's assume maybe somebody...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Somebody new is listening on the internet. You know, I never did that before. We have a really big email list, and people have heard me on George Norrie, and they've read my free book. And we have a smaller list of people that come to the calls regularly. And I know that there's people in our bigger list that would get something out of this but don't know what it is. And my challenge here, we'll see if this works, is can I put it in words so perhaps I can intrigue you to come to the calls, and it might work for you. Now, the thing about it is what really happens here is non-linear. Let me get rid of the names. It's non-linear. And this call has been a wild ride that's going for years now. But it's not the same call. It's always changing. And it all started when, I suppose, I could say it started when I started to write the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But it really started in 2002, when I had a new personal relationship. And we were driving from Los Angeles to Portland. And I asked this question. Well, it's pouring rain. I did a prayer protection. And then I said, does anybody want to talk to me? I said it like a joke. And she answered. And I didn't know what to make of it. And I thought she might be just playing along and kidding with me. But I asked questions. It didn't sound like her. And then she said, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. And for the next 6 months, she would tap me on the shoulder and tell me, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'd pull out the tape recorder, and I'd be asking all kinds of fairly esoteric questions, questions about how the universe works. And I had studied enough metaphysical things to have a pretty good idea that channeling was not something that you could trust, and that there were negative beings on the other side that could talk to you, and they could masquerade as something positive. So I had the attitude that I'm just going to ask questions, and until I come to the point of view of trusting this, I'm not going to do anything with it. Plus, it was a rather awkward situation because I'm writing this book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and it's about channeling, of course, and it was probably about the most credible channel in the history of the world, Edgar Cayce. And it was a big leap to be able to write that book and make the case that David Wilcock was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I'm in the middle of writing that book, and suddenly my girlfriend starts talking to me, and the voice that's talking to me says they're the Council of Elohim. And I look up the word Elohim, and I find references like the creators of the universe, the name for God in the Old Testament, one of the names for God, the name the Mormons use for God. And so I asked them, are you the same source? And they said, we're part of the same. And I didn't know, you know, I'm still trying to interpret their answers, and I'm saying, why are you talking to me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things into the world, and you don't have ego about it. And I had no idea what they meant or how to do this or did I want to do it and how do I know what do I want to bring it into the world for? Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure they are who they say they are. I'm not sure how people will benefit. But the one thing I did know is I didn't want a bunch of people putting me on a pedestal because I'm bringing this source that says they created the universe. So I just said I'm just going to keep going and see how this evolves, and I'm not doing anything until I have a clear direction on what to do. And during this first 6 months, there were a couple of extraordinary phenomena that occurred. One of them was when, at the very beginning, it occurred to me that my friend who was channeling might be making it up, might be schizophrenic, might be crazy. And I asked the question, I said, how do I know my girlfriend isn't crazy? Can you guys predict the newspaper headline? And then they did, successfully. They said, watch for this headline in 2 weeks. And it occurred. It's in the book. If you want to go double check it out. And then about 4 months into this, remember, we're talking about the period from May to September in 2002. About 4 months into this, I asked them, could they help my sister? I had just gotten a phone call from my brother-in-law that my sister was going into the hospital the next day, and they didn't think she would survive. And they said they could help her. And I really didn't expect anything, except the next day, my brother-in-law said she survived the operation, and she was doing really well. Well, I wasn't going to say anything to the world because that could be coincidence. I didn't know that they did it. Except they might have. I don't know. I'm still like, it was like sci-fi. You know, it's like I just didn't know. Except 3 weeks later, I got another call from my brother-in-law, Larry. They said something really strange happened. Joanne's cancer went away. She had to go for tests, and in the test that came out, she was clean. But there was something wrong with the test because her lupus disappeared, and lupus never goes away. And he said, what do you think happened? And so I told Larry, he didn't know I'm having these conversations, and I told Larry, I'll get back to you. And I did a session. And I asked them, how did you do that? And they said, well, we just projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out and I believed them. I couldn't think of any other explanation. And so, you know, I had this idea they did it. I remember thinking, either they are who they say they are, or there's someone on the other side that's really tricky, that is willing to do something like that to really get my attention and to get my loyalty or to get my devotion. I didn't know. I said, I think it might be real, but I'm still testing it. But, you know, I have those two amazing phenomena. And there was a new idea that was brought up when I asked them how they did that. How did my sister's lupus go away? And they said they projected a filter from where they are into my sister's blood, filtered it. And this is an incredible idea because I'm talking to this source. It's obviously somewhere else. I can't see them. Obviously in another dimension. And that they had the ability to project from where they are into where we are. And I said, my God, this is really important. I'm talking to the source that just saved my sister's life and did a miracle. Everybody would like to have this experience. And how do I do that? This was in September of 2002. And the woman who was channeling, was not on the same page as me. This whole experience scared her. And she was having panic attacks. And I didn't quite understand it. It was like, it would scare me what happened to her. And in September of 2002, she left me. And for the next few weeks, I mourned the loss of this relationship. And then I called my long-term friend, on again, off again relationship, but always friends. We worked together. We sold things at fairs together. And she came over. And in the middle of the night, she woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out. And a voice came through her and said it was the same Elohim. Now, needless to say, I didn't believe it. I said, she must be making it up. She said, no, this can't be real. I never heard of anything like this, where someone who was channeling and the source would go from one person to the next. So, of course, that's Terry. Hi, Terry. Terry, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Yes. It's an exciting time with lots of new things. And I was open to channeling. I couldn't get Wynn interested in channeling. He wouldn't go near it. But I studied channeling under a police psychic in 1994, 95, and 96. And so I had had some little experience with it. When?
I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm here. So, what was your experience when you told me to get the tape recorder out?
Well, I had been to a channeling that the other girl had done, and I asked the question. I said, do you think it's possible for me to channel these sources? And they said yes. And so I knew the frequency that was coming in of the higher sources that the other girl was channeling. And so when I came over to your house, then I felt this pressure on my head, on the right side of my head, and I felt their frequency, like they were going knock, knock, knock. And I was delighted, and they said, we would like to speak with Wynn. And I said, by a telepathy, when Wynn's sleeping, maybe we could talk and get acquainted. And they said, no, we want to talk to Wynn. And later on, I understood why. It took me a couple years to really get, for them to get to know me and me to get to know them. But it's like one time that I was channeling, and they were testing me out to see how much I could understand, and there was hundreds and hundreds of mathematical formulas all at one time coming into me. And I said, wait a minute, I don't understand it. Like, I got a math minor and a physics major in college with a degree, but I'm not understanding all these physical formulas. And so then they backed up and went to simple English. They had a translation unit and connected me up with that. It took me a couple of years, though, to get used to it. A lot of, at first, there was a lot of pausing, because like, I'd say, well, that doesn't sound right. And they'd say, oh, no, it's right. And but it doesn't sound right, so that everybody in the audience would hear this pause while I went back and forth. And if they said it three times, then I would go ahead and bring it through, and then afterwards I'd go and I'd check the facts, and they were always right. So eventually I learned to get in sync with them better.
Well, I'm still writing my book, kind of twiddling my thumbs about what am I supposed to do with this? And this has been evolving and evolving. And I'm getting this amazing information about how things work in other realms and who they are. And I'm kind of asking them questions about everything. I mean, who are you? How do things work? How do you see us? And I'm developing a whole folder full of data on this. And finally, in 2004, something happened. Now, I hadn't been talking about this connection with the Elohim to other people, except maybe one-on-one here and there, but never any formal way of presenting it to the public. And I didn't know how. I didn't know where to begin. And I asked them at one point, and I said, well, how am I supposed to do this? I think it's important. And they said, talk to one person at a time. It'll get its own legs. So I was doing that, and it was not getting really fast-running legs. It was getting a lot of people thinking it was really weird. But in 2004, and this was a huge turning point, my book came out, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I was giving a talk in San Diego. And while I was talking, there was this energy in this room. There was this, I could see it. I could see light energy in the room. And I had seen that before at times when I had sat in the room with certain spiritual teachers or certain gurus, which I used to do when I was young. I could see an energy in the room. And now the energy was in the room where I was talking, and it was stronger than anything I'd ever seen any other time previously. But I recognized the energy, and when my talk was over, Terry was outside in the hallway. We had a table where she was selling books, and people rushed out of the room, rushed up to the table, and said, I could see auras in there. I never saw auras before. I could see light. That must what people mean when they talk about light. You know, and Terry asked me, she wasn't in the talk, she was outside all the time. So she asked me, what did you do in there? And I said, I don't know, I just did what I always do, talked about the book. And later, a few days later, we did a channeling session. And I asked them, did you explain the energy that was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And I was just floored. Because
I was really surprised because the people were actually running out of the room and trying to be first in line to get books.
Okay. So now I have this source that is answering the most amazing of esoteric questions. I have this source that was able to predict a newspaper headline in advance. I have this source that took lupus from my sister's body, in a way that it only indicated it had to be them. I couldn't, there was no other reasonable explanation. And now I have this source that I'm standing in a room giving a talk, and the room floods with energy, and they said it was them. And I'm still thinking, pulling my thumbs, how am I supposed to put this out into the world? And how does it work? Well, I think the aspect of this connection that was most profound was their ability to project energy into this realm in a way that people could feel it. And I asked them at some point, did you do that on a conference call? And they said they could. So I was starting to get people interested in my work. I was giving talks on the book. I was developing a list of people and a list of emails of people that were connecting with whatever I was doing. And then eventually, I was supposed to give a talk in Pasadena at some place called the Shumay Center. It was on a Friday night. Every Friday night, they had a dinner there, and people paid a few bucks, and it was like a very nice community event. And Terry and I were living in Pasadena. And the guy who sponsored that invited me to give a talk on my book. And I had a conversation with him before the talk, and I started telling him a bit about what was happening to me while I was writing the book with the Elohim. And he said, Wynn, you've got to talk about that. And I said, no, I can't talk about that. And he said, you have to. He kept encouraging me. So that was the very first time that I added the part of my own experience in a public way, in a room, while I was talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And people liked it. People were open to it. Of course, the energy was there as well. And I didn't really go tell people, well, that's the Elohim, but they were uplifted. And it's from that beginning time, it's been years now, that we've been doing this, and it's kind of amazing what has unfolded ever since. Now, I want to say that when we say the Elohim was one of the names for God in the Old Testament, and that it was a name for God in the Mormons, and there's the creators of the universe, first of all of those statements would take a lot of qualification. Because as we've gone through these calls, we have explored many aspects of the history of mankind. And first of all, in present time, in communicating with us, they do not use the word God. And when I asked them, do you really like to be worshipped? They said, no, they didn't like that. They were really not above us. They were bigger than us. They were more expansive than us. And they were a group soul, and they were a breakaway or an expansion of what they call the one infinite creator. And that they didn't experience themselves as God. They experienced themselves as awareness. And what they called the one infinite creator was first awareness. And now there are like millions of awarenesses in the beginnings of a universe, but there's no universe yet. There's just awarenesses that are energy forms. That was how I was understanding it. And these energy forms were collaborating on how to make things stick. Because they were energy forms, there was no persistence. Everything was just come and go, you know, intended, and it was there. Imagine that you were just an energy, and you could think something. And you, like in a dream, for example, you dreamed it, and there it was. And then you dream something else, but it doesn't persist. It's just there in a dream. And how do you make something persist? So they actually were able to generate frequencies. This is a gross simplification, but no matter what I say, I'll never completely understand this, but I can kind of get the feeling for what they said, that they could generate frequencies, and the two, they would be very precise frequencies, and that they would work in teams, and when the frequencies would combine, there would be harmonics and nodes, and if they got it right, there would be a new point in time-space. And this is a little hard to imagine, because you have to think that what is it like to be creating time? How do you create time? Because you see, the universe is a combination of both time and space. And they are actually creating, the creators of time and space. And the way they've explained it was, as this creation was actually manifesting, that as there was consciousness growing in the manifestation, they extended free will to this whole growth. So it was like a biosphere where everything would interrelate with everything else vibrationally, and new things would come out of it. And then they became beings of the universe. The Elohim would sometimes expand into a being and share space with them so they could experience this physical expansion. And to them, when we talked about it, they said it was so exciting. It was an act of creation. This was happening. And they didn't think of themselves as God. They thought of themselves as creators. Now we could call them creator gods. We could. But they're not God in the way God is normally used in the English language. They're a multiplicity of beings. Of course, everything is one, so there really is only one being. Including you and I are part of the one being, which you could call God. And the universe, as it was expanding, started to get screwed up. Because the free will was there, when people started to have physical things, and you needed physical things to be in the universe. In other words, in their realm, they didn't need anything. They were pure energy. And they just corroborated with each other as pure energy, but they certainly didn't have to compete over anything. They didn't need money. They didn't need homes. They just, it's hard to imagine, except we ask them these questions every week, who they are, how they work, and they can't answer. So what happens on this call these calls is there's a great degree of transparency that you don't have to believe anything. You don't have to have faith. We have an ongoing rapport with this group soul that says they're the Elohim. They show up on the call just like they show up in the room when I'm giving a talk on them. And you notice as I've been talking and I said they show up, some of you can feel the energy of the space changing. And this is what I began to notice. I said, geez, every time I say it, something shifts. I can feel a shift. There's an energy that's moving through me. It's a very comfortable energy. It's not taking me over. It's not debating anything. It's like, imagine that energy is these Elohim projecting in and letting us know how it feels to connect with them. And it's kind of a sacred thing. And it's very rare, according to my questions, for someone to be doing this in a public way and being so transparent. And I started to understand why they were talking to me and why I am good at it, a good emissary for them. Because just the fact that I'm so skeptical and I tested it so much that when it passed my test, people tend to believe me because it doesn't sound like I'm starting a cult or a religion or demanding them to believe something out of faith. And so what happens is people are having this experience of this connection. And we connect with each other. And we start to feel how our energy bodies feel. So many people talk about energy bodies, light bodies, and everyone wants to experience their energy body. And suddenly, we're having that experience in these calls. And then we ask some questions. And every Wednesday, people submit questions to me. And I pick the most important questions and Terry channels and we ask questions. And their answers are very wise. And there's another aspect. At one point I asked them, is it good, is there a benefit to getting the answer, asking the question and getting an answer? Is there a benefit to that beyond the wisdom of the answer? And they said there was. And they said that what they do is when somebody poses a question, they move into the person's space. Some of you are feeling that feeling of having them in your space right now. That's when I started talking about it. It started to happen. And so they can move into a person's space and look at their life issues. And then they can address them from a very wise place. And when they move out of the person's space, they said they leave a trail, a track, which if the person chooses, they can follow that track and have an experience of the higher realms and have their own personal connection with these guys. And so So many people who have come into our calls and asked questions have had amazing changes in their lives. And people that didn't ask questions have had amazing changes in their lives as well, just by coming into the call and feeling these energies. And then you have to imagine that the idea that there is this invisible group of beings who don't have bodies in another dimension that is able to move through the universe and into our space and into your space. And that, of course, people have to check this out because it's so far out to make sure that they trust it. First of all, if you're letting another energy connect to you, you want to know, who am I letting connect? And do I trust this? And are they going to try to take me over? Or is there something negative about this? And I have watched it now for years. Many people who have been coming into our calls regularly have watched it. And I can say, I can't think of one circumstance where somebody experienced anything negative as a result of making this connection. But I can tell you that lots and lots of people have experienced something positive as a result. Because once you make the connection, it's not about me and Terry anymore. It's like, even though you may not be able to hear them as clearly in a voice, you can feel their energy. And you start to develop, you can start to develop a relationship with that energy. And when you do, things in your life start to change. And miracles can happen. And your energies can become more in balance. It's kind of like the experience of feeling a loving energy that is really an all-encompassing energy and something that's in a non-physical, that's not in a body. You know, I thought I would read. I get emails like this all the time. And I'll read one from, this is Blank from San Diego, and I attended both Sunday and Monday's conference call, and I can say that I was blown away. Sunday's experience was phenomenal. Moments before placing the call, my body seemed to vibrate, and during the invocation, my spirit was lifted, and several times I gasped in shock of my physical response, tingling, etc., to the words you spoke. During the request for first-time listeners to respond, I wanted to speak up, but I couldn't find my voice. Next time, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to present our silent request to the Elohim. I'd like to share one of the prayers that was offered to the Elohim, and that was to bless my ex-father-in-law in whatever way was best. At the time, he was in ICU and was not expected to live due to pneumonia, blood infection, and was on a respirator because his lungs weren't responding. By mid-morning Monday, I received a phone call from my ex. The photo was of my father-in-law smiling, minus all the tubing, needles, machines, etc., along with the message that he was being transferred out of ICU. Thank you. And I'll tell you what, I just read, I get that all the time. Now, I just want to tell you that don't ask me to ask the Elohim. I am not, you know, we do this on Sunday, and we have a healing list, and you can put yourself on it. And one of the things about having this work, and I'm not going to promise it works for everybody. It may not be for you, and there may be another way for you to connect to the higher realm. But a lot of people who come into these calls have these amazing experiences, and if it works for you, you don't want to miss it. And coming to the calls regularly, at least for 2 months, is a great, don't try to judge it the first time, because you have to trust it, you have to accommodate, get used to the energies of the calls. And some of you, I'm sure many of the old timers, felt the energy come in when I said it was coming in. But sometimes newer people don't feel it as fast, and they need to get comfortable with me, comfortable with Terry, comfortable with the format of our call, comfortable with the fact that the Elohim is not negative, so that you can, you can't make yourself feel the energy. But you can
Ben, can I quick tell Eddie's story with his words?
Go ahead.
Well, it was like, you know, I found Wayne online like 2009, and I was in the call for like a year, maybe 2 years, and then my son Eddie, he was like 7, and he had his whole hands covered with warts, and it was like just New Year's Day, and he said, oh, my number one wish is for my warts to disappear. And then the very next day we had a great healing call, and, you know, I put it in the light, and then it was on Sunday morning, put it in the love light. And then the very next day, my wife calls me at my work. She said, I can't believe it. Eddie's warts are disappearing. And all of it, you know, out of the blue. And within 2 weeks, everything, no trace left. So, you know, if that doesn't blow your mind, it did mine.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Now, I didn't open up the line, and I'll bet you there's a lot of people on the call that would have something to say. But trust me, it's real. It keeps happening. It keeps proving itself. Like in Heise's son's case, he didn't even know the question was being asked. And it's getting the feeling for something that is very hard to get the feeling for. And that is how energy works in the universe. How you can co-create and collaborate with higher forces in the universe. How you can collaborate the forces with each other. And we're having an ongoing experience. And we have over a thousand of our calls online on the spiritchannel.net, thespiritchannel.net, one word. And when people get this, when they get what's happening, they keep, you know, I have people that tell me they've listened to all 1,000 calls. Because what happens is, as you take this in, it starts to be, you hold the energy in your experience 24-7, or not 24-7. I don't hold it 24-7. Terry doesn't hold it 24-7. But you hold it for longer periods of time, and it's like they become your friend. And for them, as the creators of the universe,